When clouds clothed in his brightness transported, I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I will shout with the millions on high. When I was scheduled for this morning, I have thought of continuing from the book of Peter, which we completed First Peter. I was going to go on with the Second Peter. But this past few weeks, a number of people whom we have, some of us have either personally known or have associated or have heard, at least from the far distance, have died and passed on, some to eternal glory, some waiting for the eternal judgment, and finally to the eternal hell. We do not know which one goes where. Some of them we know for sure, who have passed from this life into the other eternity. So I thought I will take a different subject this morning, which will encourage us on a very practical level to cover this very thought that is in our minds. Some people who died was like in their 40s and 50s, and a brother in the Lord whom we have associated for many years, where in Florida where we go, the little assembly there, Brother Sam Moger, he's known, served the Lord there nearly 25 years. He was 98. When we were there, he was called home. And yesterday, there was a brother from the Garland Chapel went to be with the Lord. And I'm sure there is, you probably heard, and his sister, we just thought about. Brother, I'm sorry. I meant to say brother, but words change. Thank you. Anyway, on the thought of that, I thought I will change my subject this morning. And I'm going to be primarily talking about a man that are very well known to, I would say, all of us. And he was a very little child when he was born. Somebody wanted to kill him, get his life over. And he was, well, the Lord saved him from death, and he grew up in a very extremely well set up. He received the best upbringing any child can get. He grew up in the most comfortable place and one of the most powerful place, and received the best education and the best training that he can get. He also had the best technological knowledge of his time. In other words, he had almost everything that a man or a woman could hope for. Yet as he grew up, he said, I'm not going to waste my time on this earth going after these things that are so affluent and plenty in every way, but I'm going to serve a living God. And it almost cost him his life again. Well, anybody has any clue who I'm talking about? Moses. Thank you. You all are experts. Let's close in prayer. Well, it is Moses. Let's turn to, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This passage was the one that in the Plano group, in our weekly group study, we are in the book of Hebrews. It just happened, we were in that chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 24, we will read a few verses that talks about Moses, and we'll go back to the Old Testament for a passage for our consideration this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 24, and says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, meaning when he grew up to an age when he can understand and make his own choice, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. He made a choice at the very early age when he was young, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And the pleasures of our sin is for a season, he says here. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater, or understanding and appreciating the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. He knew that all what he has, there's nothing more a young man can get other than to be in a palace of one of the greatest king ever lived with, a powerful king of his time, had everything so freely, yet brought up by his own mother. But he made a choice. One day they saying, looked at all that he has and said, this is so worthless to waste my time on. And he chose to serve God. As we think of him, he had every training that he can and the opportunity to be the king of a powerful nation if he wanted to be. But God was with him. And therefore he made that choice. He had, if you look at the life of Moses, there are three sections of 40 years in his life. The first 40 years was he was in Egypt, training himself and growing up in Egypt, in the palace. The next 40 years of his life, he was in a wilderness feeding the sheep and very dangerous, and nobody wants to be in a wilderness like that. And then he was there feeding the sheep, yet being prepared by God to do one of the greatest challenges of human history, to bring the people of God out of bondage to freedom. And he never realized it while he was there until God called him. And the last 40 years of his life, as we know, there Moses was the leader of the people of Israel, bringing them out from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea and going on through the wilderness, coming, bringing them up to the point of almost entering into the promised land, and they came to the other side of the River Jordan. And we know the story of Moses, most of that. So I want to take you to that point where Moses now has come. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34. My subject this morning is the death of Moses. The man about whom we just had a glimpse from the scriptures and from the understanding that we have about him. And here Moses' death takes place. I want to read the entire chapter, which is only 12 verses, so please listen carefully. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab. Now, this is on the other, before they enter into the promised land, prior to crossing the River Jordan, there he was, and he went up from the plains of Moab. Why he went up there? Because I'm very sure as we read through the rest of the passages and some of the previous chapters, we know that God told him to go. That's why he went. He went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, place called Mountain Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah unto the utmost, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, and Zor. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with your eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against the Bethpeor. But no man knows of his sepulcher until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated or decreased or diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose, listen to this carefully, verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. You noticed I highlighted the word all. The number of things that are said, that is 6 times. The word all is repeated. We'll come to that if the Lord willing, the time permits. Now here we read that Moses was allowed to lead the people of God unto that moment of time, and God told him, you are not going to go to the other side. Why? Turn back to chapter 32. And God is telling, the Lord spoken to Moses, verse 48, Moses the same day saying, get thee up to the mountain Abraham on Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moses. There is over against Jericho. And that is the commandment to go up there. And verse 50, and die in the mount whither thou goest up before we gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. Because why did not God allow him to go to the other side, to the promised land? Verse 51, because he trespassed against me again among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go there unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Moses knew this in chapter 4. If you go back to chapter 4, we read that Moses already knew this, that he is not going to go into the promised land. But did Moses ever enter the promised land? What do you think? Yes, he did. Come down to some thousand of years later, come to Luke. There the Lord himself and his disciples were there in the Mount of Transfiguration. Whom did they see? Moses and Elijah. He physically appeared in the promised land at that time along with the Savior. So here the point, the chapter reads about that he was told he must go into the mound of Moab or mound of Nebo. Now I looked on the website to see where exactly the location, so where he can see the valleys and the promised land, and how high is the place. And at least the information I gathered is that mountain is not a very huge mountain like Mount Everest or something. It is about 3,300 feet. That's what they said. But just high enough, he's up there on the top of the mountain, and he can see from the other side of Jericho, River Jordan, and all the plains and the promised land that was given. Was about to be given to the people. Now we read that Moses went up. I tried to picture that scene. So far in his life, for the last 40 years, he had a large company of people, millions of people with him. He had Aaron, he had other helpers, he had the elders, he had Joshua and Caleb, other mighty men of God with him until that moment to go along and carry the people of God. Now, as he is going up to the Mount Nebo, he was all alone, walking up the hill. But was he really all alone? And I believe God was walking him with him. There he went up to the mountain, and he climbed up there, waiting for the Lord to take him. he was, when I believe that when he went up there, he was not complaining, he was not crying, he was not disappointed. He knew the work God has given him to do has been completed in its fullness. Therefore, with all joy, and I believe in my mind that he was probably singing song, if he knew any song, and going up the hill to the top of the mountain. Going up to the mountain, knowing that you are going to die there. Mounting up in the spirit of the gate of heaven. That is what Moses was doing. Like Enoch, we know that he was taken and he was not, for God took him, we read. Those of us who live on a spiritual high mountain experience on a daily basis, it will be no problem for us to enter into the other side of eternity when God calls us. The mountain experience of Moses, he was under no fear, not even any doubtful, but he was ready to go. And as I said earlier, he was alone. When we die, I have heard experiences of many people. When people die, our dear ones, our wife or husband or children and relatives or all others can come up to the bedside. But when you die, you are all alone. But for you and me, like Moses who knows God, who has known God face to face, you and I have known the same God face to face in Christ the day that we put our trust in him. We know, if you know him face to face, you and I will not be never alone. We will be with the Lord. And I believe as the Lord was walking with him to the mountain above, God was with him all along. At that point of time, when Moses is about to die. So I want you to ask this question. If any one of you in this room, not too many here, but any one of you in this room who do not have a face-to-face experience in your life, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and know that your sins are forgiven and you are ready to go at any time if the Lord calls you. One of the most fearful things that is in the 21st century is death has no age limit. You can be 5 years old, you can die tomorrow, tonight. You can be 15 years old, you can die. 40, 50, 70, 90. You can die any time. And therefore, no time limit. It used to be, at least in my childhood, when I grew up, most people, when they die, I know at least people that I knew were, or older people, they were dying for natural causes. But today, in the 21st century, the death has no time limit or age limit. So you can die at any moment. But my question is, did you ever had in your life had a face-to-face experience? Or did you ever make a choice, like Moses did, that I am going to serve a living God rather than living for this earth that is worthless? Remember, Moses had everything in this world. None of us will ever get to that point of experiencing the education and the knowledge and the background and the wealth and the power and might that Moses had, yet to say that I am going to suffer for Christ's sake. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please do not put away the date, because you do not know what happened tomorrow. As you may leave here and go home, a couple of weeks ago, another death, 13 people of God on the highway. Somebody came right across them, hit them, every one of them died, right here in Texas. So you can be dead on your way home, but if you do not know the Savior, please don't postpone, because death has no bearing of your age. Don't face the death all alone. Make sure that the Lord is with you at that time. Moses was alone as he went up. Every man is alone when he meets God. Every man has to give an account when we stand before God. But Moses never felt the loneliness. You and as Christians and believers, you can be alone anywhere in the world. When we are traveling in places that you may be alone physically, but never feel lonely, because our God is with us. Now, as he went up, I'm trying to picture the mind of Moses. What is he thinking as he climbing up the mountain? He's looking back of last 120 years of his life, where he chose to follow Christ and the sufferings of Christ rather than the pleasures of this world and the sin that was all so available to him at the time. He looked back all his life and he went up to that mountain not with any dissatisfaction, not with any word of complaint, not with any sad face. I believe he went with up there with the most satisfying vision of God. If you are to die today, or if you are to die 20 years from now, will each, any one of us be able to say, I am ready to go, I have a satisfying time as we approach that moment in our life? There he had one of the greatest hope for the last 40 years. He was taking his people and he was hoping to enter into the promised land. And there he went there and the Lord showed him the entire land where God is going to give it to his people. And that vision was in his mind all along for the last 40 years. What are you thinking? What am I thinking? What are we getting prepared for? What is in our mind? Are we thinking of the promised land to come? The glory into which that the Lord is going to one of these days usher us into. I hope that we will never lose that vision. Moses had that vision about the promised land all his life, but he could only see them, but he never entered. Are there not, on a spiritual application level, are there not many spiritual privileges and higher grounds that you and I have never entered? In our spiritual walk with God, in our spiritual experiences and face-to-face experience of God, are there not higher levels of experience that you and I have never ever experienced? Moses was fully satisfied that the experiences and the privileges that he had with the Lord. Psalmist says in Psalm 17 and 15, when I see your face, I'm paraphrasing, I shall be satisfied. I want to ask you this question. What is that one thing that will give you a satisfaction in your heart? Is it the things that are temporary and perishing and going away? Or is it the vision and the glorious appearance of our Savior and the promise of God that we are going to enter into? What is that one thing that gives you satisfaction in your life? Many are satisfied with the very temporary mud of this world that will perish away. And verse 5, my time's going faster. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Underline the word, according to the word of the Lord. Not one person in this room will die one day before or one day after. God has a purpose and the date that is already set, and he alone knows. The only person, as far as I know, ever knew when he will die was Moses. I really don't want to know when I will die. I like to know when the Lord will come. That's a different one. But if you know that you're going to die tomorrow, I won't be here this morning. I'll be taking care of things at home. Moses knew when he was going to die. How many of you would like to know? I don't see any hands up. He knew that he's going to die. But the point in this verse 5 is, according to the word of the Lord. Every child of God passes into eternity according to the word of God. Sister Annie's brother entered according to the word of God. One day, not one day before or one day after. According to the word of God, it shall be still the same for the saints of God throughout the coming eternity. He that believeth in me shall never die. in his victory over the death, when he rose again on the third day, victory, death was swallowed and victory was won. There are so many verses, I will not take time to go. Now, one of the most important words that came to my attention is in verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. Listen, his eye was not dim, nor his natural forces decreased or abated. 120 years old, who is still in extremely high energy and strength, vision has not changed. To see that whole area, if you look on the in the website from the mountain, to see as far as that Moses was able to see, he had 20/20 vision. Well, I lost mine 20/20 long time ago. That's why I'm one of these here. He's 120 years old. He never lost his vision nor his natural. In other words, he was a very healthy person, even at the age of 120. Then I stopped and asked, Moses could have said, Lord, I am still of good health. I am strong. I am everything a man could have. I am still on. Although I am 120, can I have a few more years and take the people on the other side? And the Lord probably said, no, Moses, your time is up. The day that I have given to you is complete. Your work is complete. And you are going home with me. You know, in our human thinking, just because you are healthy doesn't mean that you have to be around for a long time. Healthy people also will die. According to his head, where he died, his faculties were unimpaired in verse 7. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 33, we read that they shall fly like eagles. He had the strength of that. Now in verse 6 that we read, I skip that for a purpose, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Bethpeor, but no man knows of his sepulchre unto this day. Only one human being in the entire scripture of the history of God. There are people who didn't die but entered into the eternity, but only one man ever received a funeral by God himself. Can you imagine how much more God could honor him? For his service for the 40 years, God went with him to the top of the mountain. There he died. And I am, because he was buried in the valley now, listen, there Moses died on the top of the mountain. I am imagining now God carrying the dead body of Moses down to the valley. And there God buried Moses. Only one man ever received such a privilege from the hand of God. I'm not denying the fact that God is with us for every body that is buried in the ground. The presence of God, but for him to do it by himself. And the second passage of that same verse says, but no man knows where he is buried. I was a little puzzled. Lord, why did you not take at least Joshua with you and Caleb? Those are the two faithful ones that he stood with you all along. Out of millions, everybody else perished. These are the two that were faithful. At least let them come and do the service for you. No, God did that by himself. And therefore, nobody knows until this day. And I am very sure, if man has ever found out that where Moses was laid, what will they do? Huh? They will build a memorial on top of his tomb, and Catholics will find a way to make money on the top of it. I was in Israel for a few years ago, and almost every so-called holy place, they put a house, they put a church, and you have to enter there, you have to pay money, and they make money on it. Moses was buried, no man know, therefore they can't make money on his funeral anymore, or where he is buried. No man knows it until this day. But one person knows. God knows where he is. You know, my thought went to people who die in the rivers. in the sea, up in the air, blast off, become powder or pieces all over, fell in the sea, fish eat, their bodies scattered everywhere. But God knows where they are. Book of Revelation says, when the day comes, earth and the sea will give up the body of the saints of God. God knows where they are. And all the atoms and the particles will come together, and then the body will rise up. Therefore, God knows, and God knows where body of Moses is buried. A unique funeral that was given to Moses. Look at the time when Moses died. In the history of the people of Israel, this is the most crucial time of the people of Israel. They were brought, they traveled 40 years, a generation passed away, a new generation has come except for two men. The whole people are anxiously waiting to enter into the other side. God calls their leader up. God's work is not dependent on any human being. God's work will continue. He is not dependent on any human being. I come across ministries and churches and assemblies and people think that if they are gone, things will fall apart. God's work, if it is God's work, it will never be dependent on any human being, not even Moses. And therefore God called him at an extremely crucial time. But when we read in this next passage, and verse 9 says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom so that he can lead the people. If it is God's work, when somebody is called home, God makes sure there is a Joshua. God makes sure there is a Joshua. It is also the responsibility of the spiritual leaders and workers and the churches and things that you are serving the Lord one way or the other to make sure there is a Joshua behind you. This is one of the most failures of today. Many who are people serving as elders or deacons and other work and pastors, they don't care. They don't have a Joshua behind them. If they are called home, many places are in turmoil when I travel around the world. Moses made sure there was a Joshua being prepared when God calls him home. He died at a very crucial time, but there was a Joshua. Verse 10 and 11, this is the most highlight of this chapter. Verse 10 and 11, listen to that very carefully. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And verse, like I read earlier, six times, all. When Moses served the Lord, he was not partial. He was not haphazard in his actions. His commitment to the Lord was in fullness. In all that he did, everything in his capacity under the power of God, he was fully committed to serve him. But look at verse 11. And there arose not a prophet since the Israel like unto Moses, whom Lord knew face to face. I want to ask you this question. Today we can look back perhaps 3,000 years and say Moses lived and there was a prophet. There was no prophet like him who knew God face to face. Moses left behind a tremendous testimony when he was removed from this earth. Let me ask you, ask myself, what is the testimony that George P. John is going to leave if the Lord calls me home tomorrow? What is the testimony that you will leave behind if the Lord chooses to call you home tomorrow or next week or any moment? Moses left a testimony for thousands of years, and people could look back and say there was not a man like him. We read testimonies of people like that throughout the scriptures. What is the testimony that you leave behind? We move from place to place.
We relocate from place to place. Wherever you go, what is the testimony that you and I will leave behind? Or will the people say, "So I'm so glad this man is gone." Or what will that be the testimony? Moses left behind a testimony that no man could say. He knew him face to face. It is not that what he accomplished is the testimony. Yes, of course, that has become secondary. The testimony, the primary testimony of Moses is that he knew God face to face. Is that true about you? Will that be your testimony? Now, just before he knew that he was going to die, he had a message for the people of God. With that, I will close. My time is almost up. Chapter 33, verse 27. Let's start from verse 26 of chapter 33. There is none like unto God of Jeshurun or Jews, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Listen to the next words. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people of people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Eternal God, this is the only message. Well, there is other things he said. The most important message that Moses wants to leave to the people of God is, don't worry, there is another Joshua, I'm going. There's somebody who will take care of you. No. He is not going to commend the people of Israel to another man at this moment. He said, eternal God is your refuge. Underneath are his everlasting arms. People of God, rejoice. Strengthen yourself, knowing that it is not any man that carries your salvation. It is not any man that leads your life. It is God himself, eternal God. Is your strength. That was the message Moses wanted to leave to the people of Israel. Yes, there is Joshua. Yes, there is Caleb. There will be leaders. There will be all other people that God may use to lead you through. But don't you ever forget, God is your strength. We sometimes do depend on human beings for our needs, don't we? We put our trust in other things, forgetting that eternal God is our strength, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That is the message that Moses wanted to leave for the people of God as he is being replaced or removed from the earth. Your time will come. My time will come. If the Lord tarry, perhaps in physically, we may be removed, or we may be glorified and taken from the earth. But whichever comes first, let me ask you this question. What is your strength? What is the joy of your life? What choices do you make in life? How faithful are you when God calls you? When you make choices in your life, is it things that has eternal value, or it has temporary and perishing value? What kind of testimony are you going to leave behind? Or when you leave, what is the strength that you are leaving to the people whom you leave behind? Is it the God of eternity who is our refuge and who has his arms underneath them? Is that the message you're going to leave to them? Or are you going to say, I am leaving a lot of prosperity and money and the strength, and there is, it will all, you have enough to sustain, but not? Or is it God? I hope that you and I will examine our hearts. Look at the life of Moses and the time that he died.
And take it as a challenge for ourselves for the remainder of our life. What is gone is gone. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do if you have not been faithful over the years. Done is done. Lost eternity for those days and years. But there are still days ahead of you. And I hope you will take it a challenge seriously for you or for me. When we are called home, what are we going to leave behind? Many have entered into the glorious presence. I can think of many godly people, men and women, brothers and sisters over the years of my life who has encouraged and strengthened and left a tremendous testimony behind that you and I can follow. I hope that will be our case in the days to come, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to read the scriptures and once again to think about your servant, Moses, the one who knew God face to face. Lord, we pray that it may be our desire, my desire. I can confess that I am not there yet. Oh, Father, we pray that you may grant us help from above. What kind of testimony we live? What is the strength that we live for the people of God? Lord, we pray that may be with us, each one of us. Encourage us as we go home. We pray for the remaining hour that we spend here studying the scriptures together. That may open our hearts. We give thee thanks. Thank you for hearing your prayers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.